Daily Today. The very first one for the week is 7:30. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning. Happy birthday to Mama Tosin. That's Mabel Olawale. You know women and their ages. Look at Juma, you don't know how she is over.
They were not there.
That's what I wish happy birthday. How old are you now? And he said,
that was that's it. That's what you get.
Anyway, happy birthday.
but who brought up that rule that is disrespectful to ask for a woman's age?
Don't you know what the women have done to us? Ah, says because you are here, go and marry a noble woman. Don't you see all the things you see in social media?
Yeah.
People who marry women
throw you out.
Yes, one school teacher somewhere in the east took her there before he did. She was Lord of Lady of the Manor. I like to give you all this slang.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure somewhere at the back of your mind you keep wondering, where does this man get all these friends? I've told you I'm not an animal. I'm a street boy. Okay, let's go.
Let's go. You can watch us live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube, so feel free to join us. Let's go. Let's start with the Punch editorial page on the Punch. Buhari lays booby traps for incoming government. Buhari lays booby traps for incoming government.
This editorial should be framed and hung on a wall. Oh yes, we should. I wish we had a kind of hall of fame for certain editorials and certain columns. This editorial, even those who put this editorial together, I'm sure didn't know the full implications of what is this. So I'm going to beg your indulgence to give me a bit more time to digest it. I'm telling you. Okay, so it says here he's accusing Buhari of laying booby traps for the incoming government. Okay? And it starts by saying, they say that, look, they argue that just 4 weeks left to quit office, Buhari and his regime officials are taking decisions and linking deals that are potential booby traps for their successors. And amongst the booby traps they are talking about, a pay rise, fresh contracts, procurement deals, borrowings and unresolved reforms that will undoubtedly add to the already humongous challenges that await Bola Ahmed Tinubu, the incoming president. But they say they are glad that Buhari has mercifully deferred the planned petrol subsidy removal and equally postponed the potentially incendiary censors, of which I told you I don't know anything about. And they say that they argue that, okay, so governance demands continuity. We know that. Global best practices emphasize that the business of government never shuts down. It's supposed to keep going. Okay. However, this should apply strictly to existing ongoing activities and policy commitments of the outgoing government or during emergencies. It is problematic when, with only weeks left, officials bind the incoming government to fiscal and legal commitments that are non-essential and thereby inadvertently impose huge financial, logistics, or socio-economic responsibility on the succeeding administration, meaning that by now the Buhari government should be winding down almost to a stop. They should just like be at a cruise level, on autopilot at a cruise level. But no, they seem to be aiming higher for 36,000 whatever feet above sea level. And look, the Punch makes examples. It says, whilst the government is bound to budgeted or approved and prearranged policy, legal and financial engagement, entering into new non-essential or emergency procurement or spending this is unfair to the country and the incoming government, because we don't know in which direction Bola Tinubu wants to move, at least in the short run. Committing the government to a higher payroll burden, as Buhari has done, does not qualify as an essential activity. Sheriff, the Punch says he authorized a 40% pay rise for federal civil servants just 36 days to his exit date.
And he even paid backlog.
The reasons are the regime cited to cushion the high cost of living, transport fares, and so on and so forth. The Punch argues that this sounds humane, but should have been left to the new administration to implement given the paucity of funds. Also, it might have been a better takeoff point for the new government, okay? But they say this is also a fiscal ambush for the incoming government. In the 2023 budget proposal of 20.51 trillion, PwC noted that the non-debt recurring expenditure of 8.27 trillion is 40% of total spending. And so they go and analyze that. And they also say that Buhari inherited an oversized, expensive bureaucracy. He would have done Nigeria a great service by first drastically downsizing and save billions of naira before contemplating any pay rise. He failed to implement the pruning cost saving recommended by, you know, the Oronsaye report. Mm-hmm. He has compounded this failing by this fiscal misstep. The 854.8 million naira budgeted for gratuities and retirement benefits in 2023 will inevitably rise. Mm. Other officials are following suit. The last Federal Executive Council meeting approved new and new and reimbursed existing contracts worth 100 billion. Not all these were urgent. None of these were urgent and essential. And it goes on. They also talk about judgment debts, such as PIA and ID scandal, which will cost Nigeria 30% of its 37 billion foreign reserve, and so on and so forth. And he says that, unfortunately, the leadership of the Ninth National Assembly has failed to curtail Buhari's fiscal waywardness. It owes Nigeria a duty to stop last-minute non-essential spending plans. Mm. The country is on edge. Tensions are high as ethno-religious divisions accompanied the 2023 elections. Insecurity reigns in many parts. Poverty is pervasive. And the economy, headlined by revenue shortage, is fragile. There are 23 million unemployed and underemployed, and divisive statements run high. The National Assembly should halt new contracts and loan. They then say, the incoming government will contend with terrorism, Fulani banditry, kidnapping for ransom, killings and secessionist agitation in the southeast, and criminal gangs and violent transport unions in the southwest. Anyway, it's not all bad news. Because on the bright side, Buhari dropped the planned censors and suspended the potentially explosive petrol subsidy removal. He should exercise similar discretion by avoiding new financial commitments and stopping ministers and heads of department and agency from the same. I mean, it's at, if you are one who is interested in current affairs, I recommend that you read this editorial.
So I saw this coming, right?
Yes.
And you know why I saw this coming? Because how do you go and get $800 million on your way out, and you want to share, and you want to be the one to plan?
I thought for how to, they want to share.
Yeah. So they wanted to. No, what I wanted to say is that they wanted to share it to the people.
Yes.
Right. And you want to be the one that will plan everything when you are on your way out. And guess what? That 800 million is just the first tranche. There are others that will come in. The same thing with the census plan as well. You are on your way out. Like, all of these things shouldn't be an issue, shouldn't be a topic. They should have left this for, if not for, I don't know who intervened. I don't know how NEC, you know, got around to say, look, you have to stop this fuel subsidy thing for now until the new adversary comes to, you know, if not for NEC. We would have been talking about fuel subsidy removal by now.
You know, Tinubu, you know that man is an octopus. He has his own people too there. This is the way the optics looks, and I'd like to be proven otherwise. I like it proven otherwise. The everybody tends to believe that, don't let me say everybody, that's a wrong word. Most people tend to believe that in reality, all is probably not well between these two contending, and therefore, could this be sabotage? Could this be? I'm not saying it is. And nobody can blame me for thinking that way. Because it just doesn't look or sound right. And that is where journalism has taken a vacation. By now, we should have our colleagues out there who will be telling us what are the feelers in the Tinubu camp about all this. For the good days when the likes of Eriko, Eric Tenola, and so on and so forth. they will go under the carpet to dig this. This is what the Daily Giwal of them. This is journalism. The Sunday papers will be full. By now, we should be knowing what exactly is going on. Is all well between the outgoing and the incoming? If not, why? If not, what are the issues? Because this is what you call a big banana peel. This is a banana peel. It looks like a banana peel and a hole waiting for you to fall in. Me, till they buy you any biba. I can walk out on the streets. Straight.
Jingle.
I think you and I should go and write. We should go and write some kind of drama in Yoruba. I forget about the Yoruba. It's an Ojingo. Let me be honest with you. There are a lot of things that are giving me sleep last night about Nigeria on the 1st of June. A lot of things give me sleep last night. Whether the new government would even have the capacity and the authority. You see, because not just the cap. It's one thing to win. I tweeted it the other day. The supporters tore me to pieces. And I said, it's one thing for you to win the election. It's another thing entirely, for you to have the capacity. And the capacity has nothing to do with, it has nothing really to do with the numbers that you acquired or whatever, but that capacity. Nigeria is a hands-on country. I keep saying it over and over again. Look at what happened in the Sudan issue now. The Sudan issue. You can see that we don't have a hands-on president. See how long it has degenerated. Working the telephones would have produced a whole lot of things. If this kind of thing wouldn't happen under Obasanjo. Oh, yes. By 6:30, he has his telephone in front of him and he's working the phones. Because even at governance level worldwide, even at the highest international level, that thing called telephone is very important. And it's just a symbolism for a president who has contacts, who can pick up his phone and call people.
And that's what presidents do.
And get things done. What kind of prestige do you have? Look at the way Nigeria has been tossed around in Egypt. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? When I remember what we did during apartheid, in those days when Obasanjo was head of state and not president, a telephone call would do this, a telephone call would do that. The other day, our colleague at Arise was talking, I think it was yesterday, he was talking about how, for example, in the UK, they had, I think they call it Cobra meeting. He forgot to add that the Cobra meeting is also headed by the Prime Minister. Everybody is at the table. It's not the kind of cabinet meeting we have here when the president is on the rooftop and the rest sit down. No, you sit down there, you walk the phones, and you get the job done. But we don't have that. I hope the style of governance will change if we continue along this path. And also, when we keep telling people that, trying to explain to people that it's not presidencies are not well run by popularity only. Your standing in society, how respected are you? How respected is your president as a person? How respected is he as a leader? How respected is your country itself? Your standing, say I'm a Nigerian, what does it mean? We enjoyed that in the 70s. You go somewhere, you say you're a Nigerian, but now.
All right. Let's leave the punch.
Let's leave the issue.
We'll go back.
Let's leave the issue.
Let's go pick up the Vanguard, page 5, yeah? Story here says, May Day, halt last-minute looting. Labour tells Buhari.
This is a common trait, even at local government level, at state level. One time we had some governors who left with the air conditioners.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You know, and you ask yourself, of all the things that a man has taken from the cookie jar, you know, they take last time in Osun State. What kind of poverty mindset do we have?
Oh my word.
They live with the vehicles, they live in motors, they live after all what you've taken from the cookie jar. Take out the aces. Anyway, Labour have said that, outgoing governors, ministers, and others, that they should please stop last-minute looting. They vow to resist further fuel price hike via subsidy removal. They don't say they don't want fuel price hike, but not via subsidy removal. I think it's not. As president-elect promises salary increases And he says, Tinubu says he'll give you a living wage. They should grab him by the jugular and make sure that they extract that from him. A living wage is not cash. A living wage is not cash. If we had figures, if we had somebody monitoring figures, you will imagine that the 40% increase by now is worthless. So a living wage is not cash. Don't keep adding cash to it. You add is more problems. A living wage is it's not so much subsidies, but the basics of life. You know, the basics of life, housing, health, all kinds of things that has made life unbearable are those the issues that we ask to be attended to. As President-elect promises salary increase, says I'll give you a living wage. NBA asks President-elect others to protect entrepreneurs. That's important. To grow the middle. The middle class is gone. There's no middle class again. The middle class is gone. There is the haves and the have-nots. No, nothing in between. A lot of people thought that when we were growing up in the 60s, they thought that most of the people they saw living in Ikoyi were rich and so on and so forth. No, these were middle class people. You get your car loan every 4 years. You get a decent living up to motorcycle. I remember those level 3, 4. But if you go to railway, I'm sure if you go to local, there's a locomotive, local, you will see that they even had parking things for bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Bicycles had locks.
Yeah.
You know, that is the kind of citizenry you want to grow. But what you have now is those who have SUVs and those who have legacy Benz.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. And the workers say that they're going to resist anti-democratic forces. I don't know what that means. I need to bring Ajaero here to discuss. Remember that the NLC have some kind of affiliation with the Labour Party. So always bear that in mind.
Right.
And the things they talk about are not any different than what we saw in the editorial. Okay, and it also says here now that Tinubu promises tough decisions. NLC demands new retirement age. The issue of new retirement age is funny because it's always a moving decimal for the individual. Today you are 35, tomorrow you are 25, you know, through all kinds of things. Now, you don't retire in Nigeria. You leave when you are tired.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the move, though, the advocacy from 60 to 65?
For me, it's neither here nor there. All over the world, the pension age is going up. You know, is it down? No, it's going up. People are, look at me at my age. I'm still active now. Well, but I'm still active.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a pensioner. I really shouldn't be. I feel about strong.
I'm strong. But so that's the thing.
Even if I was not strong, you dare not say that I'm not strong. No more Tobe.
So I cannot, yeah. But from paid employment, yeah.
Yes.
You retired early.
Who, me?
Yes.
No. I just retired. I didn't retire early. Did I retire? I just call myself a pensioner. I'm a pensioner. I just use that as some kind of euphemism for my situation. It's not as if I formally retired. I could jolly well take up paid employment even now.
Even now, right?
If I wanted. Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Give me an offer and you'll be surprised.
There you go. That's it. It's a challenge. Give him an offer.
That I can't refuse.
That he cannot refuse. Come through me. And let's negotiate.
I don't know.
What now? I want to negotiate. I want to be your manager.
Don't be my manager.
You know, in football, you have some agents. Yeah, I want to be your agent.
But on the serious note, the retirement age is going up all over the world.
Yeah.
People are even still working in their 70s. Because life is different. When I was young, my late uncle, God bless his soul, my best uncle ever, we used to call him Papa Makati. He was 58. When we started calling him Papa Makati at 58. Would you call any 58-year-old man Papa now? Even me.
Okay.
No, life has changed. Life has improved. People are looking better. Because you see, sometimes if you retire, this is one thing about unemployment that I've noticed, because I've been down that road before briefly. It's not so much the loss of income, but what to do with your time. And a lot of people, if you are still voting in, well, we don't, these days, age is a very sensitive matter, agency is very, in these times. But if you are voting in people, okay, so our current president is almost 80. He's still working, Abby. He's still working, yeah. So,
okay, all right, okay. Let's take this story here from page 8 of The Punch. Sudan, Egypt opens border for stranded Nigerians.
Yeah, this goes back to what I said earlier. We've bungled that exercise completely. Bungled it completely. And you know, like I said, I just wished we had a hands-on president who can push the buttons. We've bungled it. What should have been a very swift operation now is lingering. It's lingering.
But the report said that it was even President Buhari that put a call through to...
At what time? What report? At what time? At what time? He should have headed the operation from day one. Your citizens are stranded in a war-torn country. When the British cabinet met on this, we saw a bit of it. It was headed by the Prime Minister. At that table, a serious meeting, said, look, defense, what do we need? You, what do you need? Okay, let's get this done. Bring the phone for me. Let me call this president and call. That's how these things are done. Mm-hmm. At what time? A week after, it's almost a week after now, you say he intervened. At what time? Hey, John. Can I go?
No, not yet. There's this story here. Cancer scare. Why we banned Indomie noodles. NAFDAC.
This story confused me. I saw it in The Punch and I saw it in The Vanguard. And I'd like to call on the Indomie company here to come and give a clarification on this. Because what the story says that, let me read the story. It says NAFDAC said it will commence random sampling of Indomie noodles, including the seasoning. Why is this? This is coming on the heels of the recalling of Indomie noodles by Taiwan and Malaysian authorities following the discovery of ethylene oxide, a cancer-causing agent. And so if that is what it is, shouldn't we, at the very least, stop the consumption of the product until we give it a complete green light?
So there's a twist to it, right? That particular product that they're talking about,
yes,
is the one that's not done in Nigeria.
That's not done in Nigeria. How do you know the difference?
So that's what they're saying. That now it's been banned, that particular importation of noodles generally.
Yes.
It's been banned for over 15 years. So they're saying that, and you know Nigeria now, our borders are very, very porous. So you never can tell whether this particular product has found its way into the country.
Before we go on, is there a difference between the one produced here and the one imported? The one produced here, does it have this something oxide?
So they're saying that they are still going to go back to the ones produced here to be sure that it doesn't contain
how
this
does
particular
that sound
stuff.
To you?
So here's the thing, yeah. I'm not speaking for NAFDAC.
Yes. Know,
but I figure that they must have done their testing on
but they said
on
they are
this
going,
thing.
But you said they said they are going back again.
No, so this is what it, let me land here. So they're going into the markets to go and look for these imported ones.
Fair enough.
So they are now saying that even with this one, they will go back to the ones that are being made in this country to make sure that the quality remains the same.
If you are going back to make sure the quality remains the same, in the interim, what happens? Supposing the quality doesn't remain the same.
If
you are going back, we shouldn't toy with public health.
Mm, I agree.
Much as, you know, we all support business, we support businesses, because I had a dilemma this morning when I saw this story. But public health is paramount. Even without consuming these things, our health is in complete jeopardy. So the NAFDAC should come clean and tell us specifically if the one locally produced here is free, they should give them that certificate and then insist that the design of the packet is completely different from the imported one.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Then, in fact, they should rebrand it completely. If the other packet is yellow, then this one should be red and give it another name so as not to confuse our people down the line. The one thing that shouldn't happen is that we shouldn't be consuming anything that will put our people at risk. And I blame our people too.
How?
For example, there was a time, not in this case, in other cases, there was a time it was said that they were using... some people were using, is it formaldehyde, something that they used to preserve?
Formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde, you know, in mortuaries.
Yeah.
They were using it to preserve chickens, frozen chicken. Well, why would you want to do that? public health is extremely important.
The same thing with fruits that we consume. They harvest fruits that are not ripe, then they use chemicals.
You can't buy bananas. They use cabbage.
I stopped buying those.
Unjoke them. What do they use?
Because it's scary.
Do they use it to ripen pineapple, which is my favorite fruit?
I think they use it to ripen fruits generally.
I think Bill. So I mean, I sympathize with the company that produces Indomie here, but also public health of the millions of Nigerians is extremely important. Mm. So, like I said, let NAFDAC come and give a definite statement here, and they should insist on rebranding that product so that our people don't fall victim. You know, our borders are porous; there is no control. Mm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let us do the needful, and then anybody who does anything after that will have himself to blame.
So NAFDAC said they will start the testing today to find out exactly what's happening. So hopefully this will be sorted. Let's take our last story. If you're not watching online, you can join us as we take our last story. On our way out, this story says Lagos publishes 3 sex offenders' details.
Yes, we'll be doing this with them from now on. Sex offenders should be given no breathing space.
Mm-hmm.
No breathing space.
No
breathing space. I remember there's a musician called Gary Glitter in the time I was growing up. He got himself involved in some, I think it was even child porn or so. The day he was going to be released, you had about 4. This is about front page list stories.
Hmm.
Glary Glitter hits town. Hide all the kids. You see, unless we name and shame, which is what we also recommend in other areas, name and shame. Well, anyway, these 3 sex offenders, they've been identified by the executive secretary, Mrs. Titilola Vaivadeni. And the details of the publication include the names and pictures. Their pictures are here. If you want to see them, don't hire them as driver or as boy. Look at their faces.
Be very careful.
Be very careful. Mm. One of them is Idowu Daniel. He was convicted of a sexual assault and he's sentenced to 7 years in imprisonment. Mm. The second offender is Moses Olawale. I'm reading this out so that all of you will know that sexual harassment and sexual whatever is a serious offense. Very serious offense. Moses Olawale, in his own case, was reportedly convicted of sexual assault by penetration and was sentenced to 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, low deal.
Mm.
37 years. He'd be an old man by the time he leaves prison. The third offender, Akin Isaac, was sentenced to 21 years imprisonment. I was talking to some young people the other day, and they didn't realize what I was saying.
Mm.
They didn't realize what I told them. You should not, under any circumstance, you young guys out there, you should not, under any circumstance, have any sexual contact with any lady or girl who is under 18, even if she agrees.
Hmm.
Even if she says the law doesn't give her the permission to say yes.
Hmm.
So I think it's called statutory rape. Please, liberals, if I got it wrong, correct me. I think it's called statutory rape. So I'm telling you young guys out there, even if she agrees, if it go prison.
If it go.
Even if she agrees. And look at the sentences. What do you want? Look at the sentences here. One is 21 years imprisonment. The other was 37 years. Mm. And then the third one was, I think, 6 or 7 years. Sentenced to 7 years. And their photographs are here. I would like to ask Mrs. Vivo if we have a sexual offenders list.
Mm.
In which case, if somebody applies to be driver, to be your driver or your cook or whatever, or like they call it cuckoo, you can go and check the name at the sexual offenders list in Lagos. Lagos City is doing very well in that area. That much, I would say.
Mm.
And on that note.
Yeah, on that note, we have to go. Mrs. Vivo is joining me anytime, I think tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll have that conversation tomorrow.
Please.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Yes, Peter Isala is going to be here at 9 o'clock, the labor man.
Okay.
To talk about the travels of the Nigerian worker.
Mm.
The suffer way they see. No be small. I'm a worker too.
Are you?
I'm a worker now.
Okay.
I've been a worker.
Are you that
kind of... I do not intend to labor in vain.
Are you that kind of worker?
There's no kind of worker. A worker is a worker.
Okay, let's go. We have to go.
Even
now.
Akuna Akuna, they call themselves.
Let's go. That's our show today, Lagos. Let's bring you the news at the top of the hour. We'll be back. Stay here.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, you're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.